saying in their mind right now? Were they ever going to stop saying that?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I am really glad. That was the whole point.
Okay, good. Because I was like wondering what you were doing there for a second. Yeah. I was like, what's happening right now?
Yeah, oh, my.
Oh, good. So I
am so happy that
I interpreted correctly.
Okay. Fantastic. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. We have made it. 2023. Lily was so excited. About, I guess, 7:30 or 8 o'clock or so last night, we got the calendar down off the fridge. We set it on the table, and she got to turn it from December to January. So that was really exciting. Last year, right around this time, we established last year's purpose. The purpose for 22 was the purpose of godliness. Right? You heard that phrase quite a bit. We committed to spiritual exercises, like prayer, fasting, journaling, some of the others, but especially ingesting scripture. And how's that working out? How's that Bible reading thing going? You know, I'm going to do it with you this year. And I was thinking about this on my way in. Our pre-Sunday routine has changed quite a bit since Lauren came into the world. I used to come about an hour before everybody. Now we all five come together as a family. So Sunday morning has become a little bit more chaotic. But I got to think to myself a little bit on the drive in, and I was thinking, you know, I'm going to invite you guys, and so I'll have this up there on the bulletin board next Sunday. I'm going to share with you my Bible reading plan, and I think we're going to get that into the bulletin. That way, we all have it, and we can keep each other accountable and on track with how we're reading the Bible. So I hope this year goes well. I know for some of you that reading the Bible has grown significantly, and I hope that you share that encouragement and that success with one another. Another significant portion of our year was spent studying the Sermon on the Mount. I think it was, if my count is right, 20 weeks of 22 were dedicated to studying the Lord's discourse to his disciples on that hill, whether it was from the pulpit or in our Bible studies, we were learning about the Sermon on the Mount. Then we turned our attention and focus to the Holy Spirit. We learned about who he was. We learned that he gave us the Bible. And we started to learn how he works with sinners and with saints. And, you know, it's good to review these things. Thank you very much, Jeff, for that instrumental. It's kind of like that song, All Plain Sign, right? Should all acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should all acquaintance be forgot in the days of all plain sight? Should we never remember old friends? Should we forget about our old friends and the experiences and the encounters and the memories we've made together? What memories, what experiences did you have with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit last year? What did you learn? How have you grown and matured in Christ because of divine instruction? You know, last year's theme was godliness, and Paul says that we proclaim him, warning everyone, teaching everyone, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So our lives are spent to mature in Christ. And that means that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and build up the body of believers until we have all attained the unity of the faith and complete understanding of the Son of God. So last year's theme was godliness. This year's theme is remembrance. The whole year this year is going to be built on 12 passages of Scripture. And don't tell me you guys didn't know this was coming, because I warned you. 12 passages of Scripture. Okay, I'm going to do everything that I can to give you the tools to hide these 12 passages in your heart so that we might not sin against God. Okay, one of those tools you saw was that video, Joshua 1:9, and I've got many other tools. Most of my scripture memory tools they find their root in the English Standard Version of the Bible, which is why I've got a different looking Bible, because this is my English Standard Version. I'll be preaching from that this year. You'll find the English Standard Version of Joshua 1:9 in your bulletin, so you have that, even if you don't have an English Standard Version Bible. So you can memorize this passage with me. We are going to sharpen 12 swords this year. Okay, we're going to have them ready in our spiritual armory so that we can do battle against the rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, and the heavenly forces of the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We are going to learn and memorize these 12 passages, what they mean, and how we might do battle with them. And we'll start with Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, the primary rule of understanding any verse of Scripture is understanding the context. So, this morning's text begins with the first verse of Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, we are going to spend the rest of January mining the wealth of these 9, and particularly the 9th verse of Joshua 1. And as I said before, the key to understanding any verse of Scripture is understanding the context. Now, this is a promise passage from God to Joshua. So the first question I have is, what's the promise? Well, in verse 5, we find that no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. God to Joshua, "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." So God promises to Joshua to remain with him just like he was with Moses. So now I ask, how was God with Moses? Well, you remember back in Exodus 3, that little encounter that Moses had with God. He was standing there in front of a burning bush. He was humbled in the presence of the Lord. And he says, "Who am I to lead your people out of Egypt. Who am I to take Israel out of captivity and lead them? God says, I will be with you. I will be with you. And this will be a sign that I'm with you, Moses. Once you have led my people out of Israel, you will come and worship me on this mountain. Okay? So I'm supposed to go tell Pharaoh? But Lord, I can't speak. I'm not a good orator. Was Porky Pig saying? I just can't talk well. God says, no, don't worry. You know, your brother Aaron, the Levite, he's going to talk for you. I'm going to put the words in your mouth and you're going to tell him what to speak, but he's going to do the talking. But I'll be with your mouth. And God was with Moses. He did many, many great signs and wonders through Moses before Pharaoh in Egypt and before all the Israelites. They came to this mountain after they'd been led out of captivity from the Egyptians in slavery, and they worshipped on Mount Sinai just as God had said. God gives the law to Moses. They start their trek toward the promised land. They come to the edge of the promised land on the base of the Jordan, and Moses sends out 12 spies. And those 12 spies come back. 10 of them said, hey, that land is really good, but the enemies are great, and they will trounce us. 2 of the spies, though, of which Joshua was one, the other being Caleb, said, hey, let's go. Let's do it. God has given us this land. We'll overcome them. We promise. But Israel sided with those 10 fearful spies. And so God made Israel wander in the wilderness for 40 years until all those rebels had died. So they wandered for 40 years, and they all died. And Moses died as well. And so here stands Joshua, again, for the second time, on the banks of the Jordan River, commissioned by God to lead Israel into the promised land and conquer it. Now, I imagine that Joshua was a little bit intimidated by what he was told to do. I mean, 2 primary reasons for that. The first is that Moses had some pretty big shoes to fill. Okay, the book of Deuteronomy ends with, you might call it the eulogy of Moses. It ends with the death of Moses. And it says this about him, that no prophet in Israel was ever like Moses. God knew Moses face to face. He did great signs and wonders through him in Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants. And all the people of Israel witnessed all these mighty works and great deeds of terror that Moses did. Okay, I imagine that Joshua stepping into Moses' shoes might have been something like Warren. And if you've seen Warren's shoes, or feet. They're about this. He wears size 0 to 3 months right now. It would be like Warren stepping into those giant size 23s of Shaquille O'Neal. He might be able to fit all the way inside of them. I don't know. Have you seen those shoes? Look them up on the internet. I mean, these things are huge. Joshua may have felt something like Moses did in front of that burning bush. Who am I, Lord? Who am I? You know, that's a reasonable supposition, I think. I think that's reasonable. But that's all it is. It's a supposition. But I do believe that Joshua was afraid on a more concrete basis, based on like some empirical evidence. For example, in verse 6, God says, be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Now, that's a pretty monumental task. And God doesn't give unnecessary commands. And here Joshua's commanded, be strong and courageous, because I got big plans for you. And you know what? This year, God probably has something planned for you far bigger than you have planned for yourself. So I'll just tell you, be strong and courageous. That's what God has for you to do. Verse 7 says, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from the right hand to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. You know, that monumental task that God is giving you to do this year, it will only be accomplished successfully with God by His instruction. That's it. So I'll tell you, be strong and courageous. Be careful. Be careful to do according to everything that God has commanded. Don't turn from it. Walk the straight and narrow. Do it God's way. His way is going to lead you to accomplishing whatever He has for you to do successfully and very fruitfully. Finally, be strong and courageous again in our text. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God has commissioned you to do some monumental task with His help, by following His instruction. But it's going to be scary. It's going to be scary. It's going to be something that you're not sure about. You may have doubts. It's going to be something that will take you out of your comfort zone. And the only thing I can say to you is, hasn't God commanded you? Be strong, courageous. Fear not. Don't be overwhelmed by the size of the task. God is with you wherever you go. That's His promise. He will be with you wherever you go. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. That's the promise God makes. And He is faithful to keep His promises to the thousandth generation. But, and this is a big but, God's promises to His people are never without condition. The condition for God's being with Joshua was to be careful to do according to all the law that Moses has commanded. The book of the law was to be ever ready on his lips. He was to dwell on it day and night, to be careful to do everything that was written in it. And the Lord our God, the same God that commanded Joshua in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, teaches the very same thing. The very same thing, folks. Jesus teaches His disciples on the night before He was crucified that their obedience to His command is evidence for their love to Him. I want to say that one more time. Our obedience to God's commands, to the teachings of our Savior, is evidence of our love for Him. This is what Jesus said on the night before he was crucified to his disciples. In just a few verses later, he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come and make our home with him. In other words, the condition of the promise of the indwelling presence of God is loving Jesus. But loving Jesus is not merely an emotion. There is an emotive aspect to loving Jesus. It is there. But loving Jesus is action. It is obeying his commands. Jesus told his disciples just before he was to leave them for a little while. And then he left them for a little while. He was crucified and died and was buried and raised on the third day. He preached and ministered the kingdom of God for 40 days thereafter. And just before he was getting ready to go unto the Father, he told his disciples this: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but I'm going to sound like a broken record because here we have it again. Jesus promises to be with us forever, even to the end of the age. To claim that promise, the condition to be met is making disciples and teaching them to observe all that Christ has taught. That means a sinner is made into a saint, and then a saint is expected to observe all his teachings. And I got news. You are one or the other. You are either a sinner or a saint. And if you're a sinner, I urge you with Paul, by the message of reconciliation, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. That is the only peace that you can hope for. If you are a saint, then I'll urge you, observe all that Christ has commanded. Because that obedience is evidence of your love for Jesus. And when you love Jesus, God will make his very home within you. Therefore, he will always be with you, and he will never forsake you. And then, along with the Hebrew writer, we can say with all confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will fear nothing. What can man do to me? Fear not him who can destroy the body. Rather fear him who can destroy the body and the soul in hell. Look, God has given us everything that we need in the Bible to be prosperous and successful in accomplishing our great commission from our Lord and Savior. Don't be afraid. Don't be overwhelmed by the magnitude of that task. Go into all nations. It's huge. Don't be overwhelmed. He'll be with us. He'll be with us if we heed his instruction, and he is faithful in fulfilling his promises, and he will never fail us. So God encourages Joshua on the banks of the Jordan, and then he leads Israel into the promised land to possess and conquer it. And God encourages us as we begin 2023. whether we know or we don't know the challenges that will arise, whether we know or we don't know the difficulties that we'll face, whether we know or we don't know the suffering or the persecutions that we'll endure. But as we come into 2023, let us navigate this year looking to the Lord our God and into His Word to guard, guide, and govern us no matter what befalls us. Let us always have the Word of God ready on our lips to give an answer for the hope that we have. Let us dwell on it during the day, during the night, so that we're careful to heed its every instruction and to do it, and not be just hearers of the word, but doers. Then, our Father, who is in heaven, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit will be with us, so that we won't be frightened or dismayed, but strong and courageous as we go out to make disciples and edify the saints for the building up of the body of Christ. To Him be all glory forever and ever. Amen.